I bring you greetings from New Covenant Palm Springs. It's a new church, a new start that I joyfully serve on the pastoral staff. We are the only open and affirming Pentecostal charismatic church in the Coachella Valley. We're also messianic in our core beliefs, so we're quite unique in the valley out there. I happen to think our worship services are quite unique too. But that's a whole nother story. I do want to share one thing with you. I told Frida I was going to make an announcement this evening. We will be having on September 11th through the 13th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, our official launch as a church and our first anniversary celebration on the same weekend. And the reason I'm telling you about it, this is going to be the most power-packed weekend that probably California has seen. Friday night, we're starting with an intercessory prayer service. Saturday morning, we're having a traditional Messianic Shabbat service, which I will be leading and preaching at. Saturday night, evangelist Melissa Harris, I know that doesn't mean anything to you, but just let me take a second and tell you about her. She formerly was a pastor of a church of 4,000. That's unusual for a female pastor. She was a regular speaker singer at Kenneth Copeland's large gatherings until they found out that she had a wife. And they cordially invited her to leave at a conference that she was invited to speak at. She didn't know that she'd been uninvited until she got there. She also is the only woman that has ever been invited and has gone and done it to preach in the United Arab Emirates. And that's just totally unheard of. This is a Muslim country that don't have a whole lot of respect for women, and they invited her to come and preach. And she has a testimony where she was within hours of death, and God raised her up. And so she'll be speaking Saturday night at 6 o'clock. Sunday morning, Bishop Randy Morgan, our bishop of the Covenant Network, will be preaching and doing our launch service. And then Sunday night at 6, Prophet Michael Turnbull will be speaking, and he is the over all the other prophets in the Covenant Network. Quite a powerful preacher and just a great guy. So you're invited to come for any of that. And I don't want to pull you away from your church on Sunday, but there's things happening on Saturday. There is no registration fee for the conference. We'll be taking free will offerings, but we're not charging anything for the conference. And if you'd like more information, see me after the service and I can fill you in on some more details. When Dale asked me to come and preach, he said that this month you guys were doing a theme all month long. And he told me what that theme was. You all look surprised that that's going on. That's what he told me. Anyway, and I really was in a quandary. I mean, this is the third Sunday of the month. What hasn't been preached on that subject? But the Lord told me not to worry about it, just to say what he gave me to say. So I'm going to start with a couple of statements before I get into the scripture. God always keeps his word. God always fulfills his promise. God has a plan for your life, and God will never give up on that plan or give up on you. Subject is faithfulness. Have you ever heard a televangelist or a pastor or a Bible teacher say, the promises, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus? Anybody ever heard that said? There's a couple over there who have heard it. It's a very common statement. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Well, I'm going to tell you something. They're misquoting that scripture by a long ways. That's not what the scripture says. And so I actually have kind of a two-part sermon here. I'm going to start out with the yes and end up with the amen. But this is what the scripture actually says. 2 Corinthians 1:20, I'm reading from the Complete Jewish Bible. For however many promises God has made, they all find their yes in connection with him, Yeshua. Okay, so that part of the verse they quote right. All the promises are yes in Christ Jesus. The second half of the verse they get wrong. Because the second half of the verse says this. That is why it is through him that we say amen when we give glory to God. So it's God's yes and our amen. And I'm going to teach you what amen really means at the end of my message tonight. And I think you'll be surprised. Now, you know, with men, with women, with human beings, I've learned a long time ago, yes doesn't always mean yes. I used to be in show business, actually, when I was a young twerp. And one of my favorite shows that I was in was Tea House of the August Moon. And I played the character Sakini, the interpreter. But there's a cute little event that takes place in this play where Captain Fisby is making a speech to the villagers in the little village of Tobiki. And I want to share with you a couple of things he says to them and how they respond. Do you want to be ignorant? And they all answered, hi, J-A-I. And he says, what was that? And his interpreter says, they say boss. They say yes, boss. And the boss says, yes? You mean they want to be ignorant? Oh, no, boss. In Japanese, boss, yes mean no. So they say, yes, we not want to be ignorant. Are you confused yet? So he goes on and asks them, do you want your children to be ignorant? And they answer, hi. And he says, now what was that? They say, no, boss. No. Wait a minute, Sakini. No, they do, or no, they don't. Yes, boss. They not want no ignorant children. Are you confused yet? That's very typical of the way yes works for us. I know with my own partner, Enrique, he has a fairly big problem with getting to anything on time. You know, I joke and tell people that he's always late but worth the wait. And I mean, you know, an hour late is not unusual for him. Not at all. And I'm one of these people, if I'm not early, I'm late. And so I get a little antsy around the house or in the hotels when we're getting ready to do something. Maybe he's performing in a show and, you know, curtain is in 15 minutes and he's still running around with next to nothing on, still painting his face, you know. And I'll say, Enrique, we've got to be, yada, 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 in 10 minutes. Okay, mijo. That's kind of his way of saying yes. And let me tell you what that means. That means I heard you make a noise. It does not mean he's going to be ready any sooner. His yes, his okay, really is not a yes. It's kind of a placeholder to keep me from saying anything more or for losing my what little sanity I have. But let's look at God's yes. We know we've all had to deal with the human yes. But let's look at God's yes. Numbers 23:19 said, God is not a human who lies. See, the Bible even knows. Or a mortal who changes his mind. When he says something, he will do it. When he makes a promise, he will fulfill it. Let me give you an example, and this is really a painful example for me because this just happened. We have a straight couple in our church. The young man is the son of one of our other pastors. He and a beautiful young lady got married in March. And she knew at the time that they were getting married that his plan was to go to Atlanta to take courses and to be trained as an evangelist in the Covenant Network. She knew that all along. And she was very supportive of that. Friday, she told him, well, she left home on Wednesday, and she called him on Friday and said, this ministry thing of yours, it's too much for me to handle. I'm not coming back. And Bo had to preach his first sermon this morning after experiencing that. But see, God's not like that. God doesn't change his mind. And I mean, God doesn't change his mind on the little things as well as the big things. Psalm 119:160 says, the main thing about your word is that it is true. All of your just rulings last forever. Everything God says to us in this book right here is true. It's not only true, it is the truth. And we can bank on that. So God's rulings are just and they last forever. And then John 17:17 says, set them apart for holiness. I'm going to come back to that. That's an important part of this message tonight. By means of the truth, your word is truth. If I can put it this way, God is a person of his word. You ever hear somebody say, well, that person is a person of their word? You can say that about God. God is a person of his word. He is faithful to that book. And he is faithful to the commitment and the plans that he has made for you. Did you know there were over 3,573 promises in the Bible? There are that many promises. And all of them apply to you either personally or spiritually. Now, there are some promises that God made to individuals that particular promise doesn't apply to you in the same way it applies to them. But there's a spiritual principle involved in the promise that God made for them, and that spiritual principle applies to you. This last, I haven't gotten there yet. When I get there, I'll tell you about it. Oh, yes, I did. It's down here in the bottom of my notes. Back in July, I was back in Atlanta at the Covenant Network conference called Immerse. There were 500 of us crazy Pentecostal queers in the sanctuary, if you can imagine what that was like. And on Saturday morning, I had the privilege of speaking to this great number of people. And then Saturday night, I was being ordained as a pastor. They ordain for each of the fivefold ministries. They ordain prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They also ordain intercessors and psalmists. There were over 70 people being ordained that night. Quite a crowd. And the pastors were being ordained by other pastors that were already ordained. The apostles were being ordained by apostles, etc., etc. So I had three pastors who laid hands on me and prayed for me when I was being ordained as a pastor in the network. Bishop Randy, with that many people being ordained, he couldn't get to everybody. But I saw him make a beeline for me. I thought, uh-oh, here it comes. And he took a hold of both sides of my face, and he just stared at me for about 15 seconds. And then very loudly he said, Abraham, father of many nations. You know, he was speaking prophetically over me. He was talking about the spiritual children that God was going to give me as I went about my ministry. Now, that's what God called Abraham in the Bible. So it applied to Abraham in the physical, in the natural, but it applied to me in the spiritual. And that's true of all of God's promises. It either applies to you in the natural or it applies to you in the spiritual. So there's over 3,573 promises that you can read and depend on. Joshua 23:14. He says this, today I'm going the way of all the earth. Joshua was getting ready to die. This is at the end of his ministry. And he's speaking to the children of Israel. Therefore, consider in all your heart and being that not one of all the good things Adonai your God said concerning you has failed to happen. Not one thing. Not one thing God promised them had failed to happen. It is all come to pass. And Joshua ends up by saying, nothing has failed. That's the God we serve, people. That is the God we serve. A God who is faithful to us. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in just a moment, even when we ain't so faithful to him. Did you know God has a plan for your life? Each and every one of you, he has a plan for your life. You're all familiar with this verse, Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare, to prosper, to give you well-being, and peace, and not for evil, to give you a hope in your final outcome. Did you know that part was that was part of the verse? That God has plans for us, and those plans are good plans, and that we will prosper and have peace so that we can have hope in the final outcome. We can trust the end results to God, even when what we're going through, we can't figure out why we're going through it, and how much longer is it going to last, and why am I going through this anyway, and I'm tired, and I want to quit, but God doesn't want to, and God won't. He will see that plan through to the end. And he had a plan for us before we were born. Scripture teaches that. David says in Psalm 139, for you fashioned my inmost being, that person I am on the inside. You knit me together in my mother's womb. The plan that God had for us and has for us started before we were even born. And it will continue until it is complete. And we stand in his presence. Paul said basically the same thing about God seeing us through to the end. In 2 Timothy 1:12, reading from the NIV, that is why I am suffering as I am. I just mentioned, you know, we go through things, we can't quite figure out why. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What day? The day I stand in front of him. The plan God has for my life and everything that I've committed to him, he will see through till completion. This says also in Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this. Paul says, I am sure. Do you know that Paul uses the word no 70 times in his epistles in talking about what he knows and what we should know, and only 10 times uses the word believe? He knew that he knew that he knew. In Philippians, this is what he knew. And I am sure of this, that the one who began a good work among you will keep it growing until it is completed on the day of Messiah Yeshua. Jesus said, I am with you always. I will never leave or forsake you. God's promises to us about salvation, once we have been born again, are not conditional. In other words, you can't do something to get rid of your salvation. If you are saved, you are saved. You are saved for eternity. You don't have to get saved again ever. Now, I got no problem with people that want to rededicate their lives that have strayed away from the plan that God has for them. But if you are redeemed, you are redeemed. And let me give you just one verse of scripture. It's Ephesians 1:13 through 14. Furthermore, you who heard the message of the truth, the good news offering you deliverance, and put your trust in Messiah, were sealed by him with the promised Ruach HaKodesh, with the promised Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit then guarantees our inheritance until we come into possession of it and thus bring him praise commensurate with his glory. The Holy Spirit seals us and preserves us until we inherit the possession that has been guaranteed us. But promises regarding blessings many times are conditional. God tells the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 28, 29, and 30. I read, because of something that I'm doing right at the moment, this particular month in the Jewish calendar, I'm reading 18 chapters out of Scripture every day. Not the same 18. I am reading Romans 12 every day, so that's one that's the same. I always, for years and years, read Psalm 51 every day. And during this month of the Jewish calendar, Elul, I'm reading Psalms 27 every day and Psalms 145. And then I read five chapters out of the Old Testament and five chapters out of the New Testament. And sometimes I get a little carried away and I don't want to stop. And I go beyond my five chapters, like I did the other day. I read all of Ephesians, which is six chapters. But getting back to what I was saying, the promises regarding blessings are conditional. And I've been reading Deuteronomy and Joshua, and I have a very good friend who is a Messianic rabbi who says that the book of Deuteronomy is the most prophetic book in Scripture. And as I've been reading Deuteronomy and Joshua the last week, I've come to see what he means. But this is what Joshua says in chapter 1, verse 7. This is after Moses has died. God has buried him, and they had their 30 days of mourning. And Joshua gets up before the children of Israel, and he says, "Only be strong and very bold in taking care to follow all the Torah, which Moshe, my servant, ordered you to follow. Do not turn from it either to the right or to the left. Then you will succeed wherever you go." That promise says, if you live your life according to this book, you will succeed wherever you go. And in Deuteronomy 32, 46, and 47, the same thing is said, only this time it's Moses. "Be careful to obey all the words of this Torah, for this is not a trivial matter for you. On the contrary, it is your life." And then Deuteronomy, one more from Deuteronomy. "I call on heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have presented you with life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore choose life so that you will live, you and your descendants, loving Adonai your God, paying attention to what he says and clinging to them, for that is the purpose of your life." See, the purpose of our life is to glorify God. And the only way that you can glorify God is living according to his word. Anything less than that doesn't bring glory to him. You know, and one day, and it's not that we're going to be, you know, there's a judgment coming even for Christians. Great white throne judgment. And it's not that God's going to stand up there and look at Christians and say, "Well, you weren't a very good Christian. I think I'm going to send you to hell. No, I'm going to let you go in." It's not that kind of judgment. It's when we bring to him all our works that we have done throughout our lives as believers, and they are put in the fire, and the ones that were not profitable are burned up, and the ones that were profitable are preserved, and that's the measure of our reward. I want to have a lot of stuff to put at the Father's feet after it's been through the fire. I really do. And I'll tell you something else. There's something else I want as a pastor, and it's this. When I come before the Bema in heaven, I want to look back over my shoulder and see all the people that God has entrusted to my care as a pastor. And then I want to turn around and look my Heavenly Father in the eyes and say, "Sir, they're all present and accounted for." That'll make everything worth it. That'll make everything worth it. And so we're asked in throughout Scripture that if we want to enjoy the blessings of God, then we have to live according to His Word. So those promises about His blessings are conditional. The blessings about prosperity, they're based on what you give, right? Isn't that what the Bible tells us? Freely we have received, so freely give. Our church is a word of faith church. We believe in confessing what we believe. We believe in speaking what we believe. And I want to encourage you that as you read through Scripture and you find a Scripture that you find is a promise to you, I want you to speak that Scripture out loud in the first person. If it says, "You will, da-da-da-da-da-da," you instead you say, "I will," or "I have," or "I possess." I want you to do that with God's promises. Which brings me to the second half of the text. God says yes, and we say amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. "For however many promises God has made, they all find their yes in connection with Him. That is why through Him that we say amen to give glory to God." How many of you think you know what the word amen means? Now be honest. Do you think you know what the word amen means? I'll give you a couple of definitions in English, okay? So be it. You ever heard that one before? That's what amen means? Let it be so. It's the truth. Or I agree. All those things. The rabbis teach that there are five levels of interpretation on every verse of Scripture in the Bible. They teach that the first level is that verse of Scripture in the context of all of Scripture. Then they teach that it's in the context, the second level is in the context of the passage that that verse is included in. The third level is they take each and every word in that verse of Scripture, and they believe that each one of those words have special meaning. The fourth level is the individual letters themselves of the word. And that's what we're going to do tonight with the word amen. And the fifth level is all letters in the Hebrew alphabet have a numerical value. So they teach that there are lessons to be learned from the numerical value of the words as well. But we're going to drop back down to the fourth level. The individual letters in the word amen. Now in Hebrew there really aren't any vowels. They're only vowel markings. So the word amen only has three letters in Hebrew. The first letter is aleph. Aleph. The first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. By the way, the word amen is a Hebrew word. And it is pronounced in Hebrew, amen, or amen. But it is a Hebrew word, just like hallelujah is. In the word amen, can you guess what aleph, the first letter of the alphabet, might represent? How about God? God. That's what it represents, God. The second letter is the letter mem, M-E-M. And it represents the Hebrew word melech, which means king. The final letter in the Hebrew spelling of the word amen is the letter Nun, which represents the word Emuna, which means faithful. So now, with just those three letters, we have a statement that says, God is the faithful King. I bet you didn't know that. There's more. A lot more. But I'm almost through. Now, the word in English, faith, is generally a noun. We talk about our faith. But in Hebrew, the word faith and faithful are always verbs. They are always action words. They denote the taking of action. Now, how many of you have sat and listened to a preacher preach and at some time in that sermon heard something that you agreed with and you said amen? Anybody in here ever do that? A few people done that. I know you have because I know your background. Now, all of us say amen at the end of a prayer when we've asked God for something, right? Now, keep in mind, God is the faithful King, and the word faith is an action word. So when you say amen, when the preacher says something, or at the end of a prayer, you are saying, I agree with what was said to the point that I'm going to take action on it. Uh-oh. Because God is a faithful King. I agree with what was said, so I'm going to take action on it because God is the faithful King. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen.